In January of 2021, following a year of unprecedented uprising against racist violence in the United States, Jen M. Jackson published an article in Al Jazeera entitled "Martin Luther King Jr. Was Radical. We Must Reclaim That Legacy." Jackson argues that too much of what white America celebrates in the history of MLK obscures the way his politics evolved over time into a radical vision of a society that protects and serves the humanity of all. I want to thank Mol Sharon Grant for researching and editing this piece. If there was one Black American hero whose radical legacy seems the most fraught and contested, it might be King. It goes without saying that the political moment when King found himself coming of age was one that necessitated revolutionary change. Much like young Black people today, King's radical ideals were born out of intense social unrest and violence. Over his short life, King's political ideas and agendas evolved drastically, eventually moving away from integrationist politics to a politics rooted in Black liberation and freedom. But much of what we know about King's life and legacy has been filtered through a revisionist lens meant to make white people more comfortable with their own complicity in systems of white supremacy and anti-Blackness. Thus, many white Americans have reframed King's movement, work, and theorizing as a way to water down the true aims of the man who became significantly radicalized, pushed by Black activists and organizers around him, before he was shot and killed on April 4, 1968. While King believed that the fundamental tactics of mass mobilization and movement making for racial progress should focus on a nonviolent course of action, he also challenged activists and organizers to shift their focus to systemic and institutional barriers to progress for Black Americans. In 1968, just before he was killed, King said, "A riot is the language of the unheard." What we know of his legacy is that, while he did not support violent protest tactics, he believed that the only way to prevent rioting was to address the underlying concerns of those in the minority. King was clear that white people would not lead the revolution. Rather, it was always the voices of young, Black, and poor people that were most heard during times of great anguish and upheaval. Suffice it to say, King was not confident that powerful white people would work toward justice for all. Exasperated by the continued violence and economic disparity facing Black people, King had become disillusioned with the capacity for white leadership to be responsive to the political concerns of Black Americans. Most importantly, he had come to the realization that white Americans would frequently choose their own safety, liberty, and economic stability over the collective good of others. Towards the end of his life, King's ideas and work had made him increasingly unpopular. In 1966, 63% of Americans had an unfavorable view of King, up from 37% in 1963, according to Gallup. The precipitous change in public opinion about King in the 60s illustrates how his public politics and commitments became less palatable for white Americans not fully committed to the liberation of poor and Black people. Yet even as the public slowly turned away from King and his work, he continued to promote notions of class equality and Black humanity despite the risks to his own life and the lives of his family and comrades. It is the same fight we continue today. Young Black Americans have been in the streets fighting for their lives and for the safety of their communities. The protests after Breonna Taylor and George Floyd were killed by police have been described as the largest global mass protests in history. All of this in the midst of a global pandemic where Black Americans are at greater risk of dying due to COVID-19 than any other group. In general, Black Americans are at greater exposure for environmental risks. The global crisis has only highlighted the grave disparities in health and safety across racial groups. Even before the pandemic, Black women were at the highest risk of death due to childbirth complications, and Black children face higher rates of death from complications from asthma. We must acknowledge King's radical legacy in light of recent events. Not only that, we must consider how his evolving politics provide insight into the ways that young Black Americans today continue to be politicized and radicalized by the anti-Black world around them. His work shows that, as the conditions of state-sanctioned persecution and inequality change, we too must allow ourselves to be changed. And when the world calls us to respond to oppression and repression, we must always concern ourselves with those least protected, least defended, and most vulnerable to the violence of the state. We should be suspicious of the watered-down, colorblind notions of King's politics that too often dominate mainstream narratives, and as white Americans continue to commodify and appropriate King's legacy for performative acts like the MLK Day of Service and other public displays, we must remember that this is the same MLK the FBI tried to convince to kill himself, only to tweet in his support decades later. Like so many of us who are committed to racial justice and accountability to those least among us, King's legacy is a balm in a moment such as this. King would have been fighting with and alongside young Black Americans following the deaths of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and so many others. And he would have seen the January 6 attempted coup as a toothless white supremacist attempt to grasp at the reins of power in the U.S. despite the immense damage this administration has already done.